Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
The crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am, of course, your host, Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and also the amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski. The show is being engineered by the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of the show. We call him a serial killer because he has the name of Timothy Robert Ray.
Three first names.
sounds like a serial killer. I don't know. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markunger.com. Here's how the show works. You get to send a question about anything. Nothing is off limits, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. And halfway through the show, again, we warn you. This is adult content. Much of it is sexual in nature because it's a show about marriage. People have questions about sex in marriage. It's a big stinking deal. Okay? Having a relationship show where you don't talk about sex is like trying to have a car show where you can never mention the engine. Only Christians have relationship shows where you never talk about sex.
Right.
And intimacy, and we hint at things, and it's all about communication and submission. And really, that's like a, what do you have to do after the second show? They've said the same thing over and over again, you know. So anyway, you got to open it up. That's what we do. Now, you get to stay totally anonymous. We are brutally honest. That's the premise of the show. This is the show of brutal honesty. If you're not up for brutal honesty, don't email us. And if you're really not up for it, then don't listen to us. But for those of you who get it, this is the show that is just about truth and absolutely no concern about feelings. In reality, no one would be this brutal with anybody. We do this intentionally. We're very upfront about it. Again, we don't know you. Nobody knows you. All right? So, anyway. You know, I got this article here and stuff like that. It just fries me. I think I am so irritated doing this show. The show irritates me all the time. People say, you sound angry. I am angry. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this show. I can't handle it.
Some days.
People, it's like mental wards are playing this show, and that's who emails us in. People, they have no, you know, and here's the problem. I know they're not actually mental, as we're just exaggerating here, but the whole point is that people don't know how to live life today.
No.
The fact that even people email a nutcase like me shows people are messed up. For heaven's sakes. And there's no connection between what people do and what they get. There is a complete disconnect. And I'm talking about Christians. That's what ticks me off. Christians who have no connection on the concept of reaping and sowing. For right. Any pastors who are listening to the show, good heavens, you need to teach your people about sowing and reaping, and not just in a financial sense. They always talk about it in money ways.
Yeah.
Praise God, if you're going to be blessed, you got to send me $100. Because if you send me $100, God bless you, because you will reap by yourself. You don't have a faith seed, God will not bless. Okay, how about you quit peeling all the cash you can off of people and try to actually help them for once? For heaven's sakes, who cares about the dumb money for a minute? Why don't you help these people? Teach them about sowing and reaping in their lives. The reason their marriages are so messed up is they have no connection between what they do and what they get. Oh, Pastor, my husband, and we're just not connected, and there's no joy in our marriage, and anything. Really? Do you ever spend any time with each other? No. Do you ever go on dates together? No. Do you ever have sex together? No. Well, Pastor, why is our marriage so why do you think it's so miserable? For heaven's sakes. Reaping and sowing. You get what you put in. But this is very... I'll tell you what, people think this is cruel. They think when they describe what they get, and I say, well, that's because of what you do.
they're insulted.
Yeah.
Because they think if they pray that God will just make it all better anyway. But I was praying,
But that is contrary to God's word. You cannot ignore one part of God's word and think you can make it up with prayer. You violate, if you do not reap what you sow and say, well, I can fix it with prayer. I will act stupidly, but I expect good results because I'm going to pray about it. You are crazy. In fact, Paul said, before he says, you will reap what you sow, he says, God is not mocked.
Yep.
Don't mess with God. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. I don't know how much you pray about it. You're going to reap what you sow. You need to stop it.
Well, we yell at each other and we curse each other all the time and we're just always bitter and I'm always telling him what a loser he is. He ain't the man of God he ought to be doing and our marriage is terrible. How come, Pastor?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because you're a mean, insensitive jerk. I don't know. Maybe. is there a connection here? Oh, we never spend time with each other. We never touch each other. We never have sex with each other. I never respect the man. He's never nice to me. We never go on dates. We just go in every morning. Oh, how you doing? Okay, okay. And leave the house. Come back. Oh, how you doing? Got any hamburgers? I'm hungry. You know. And you go to bed after watching TV. This is your life. And you wonder why your marriage stinks. No connection between what they reap.
But I was praying for God to bless my marriage.
Well, you got to do the right thing. Is it this complicated? Just be nice. And you single people, good Lord, if there's not a bigger sign of stupid going on in the kingdom of God today, it is with single people. Dating these people. They send us these emails. You know, Pastor, I'm dating this man, and he's got some anger issues, you know, because he just got out of prison as an ex-murderer. But he didn't kill everybody. He just killed really, really mean people. And he was real polite because he only buried people in the back where you couldn't smell them so much when they were rotten, you know. And I'm afraid he's got some anger issues. Why do you think there's anger in our marriage? I don't know, because maybe you married an axe murderer. This 16-year-old girl who emails us, my boyfriend, he looks at porn and masturbates. How can I help him?
I believe he wants to change.
You can help him by getting the heck away from him. So that goofball chick will marry a guy like that.
I know they will.
And email us, and they'll be stunned. Why is my marriage so terrible? Why won't my husband connect with me? Why do our children have problems with porn and sexual demons in our lives? Well, I don't know. Maybe because you married somebody who's a pervert.
The writing's on the wall, and they don't see it. They don't see it.
No connection between what they get and what they did to get it. In fact, I promise you, most of the people email us are writing because they have no idea why they have what they get.
They think that they go to church and they pray and ask God to bless their lives, why am I having issues?
Now, these are the people who pray and ask God to bless their lives and lead worship and their elders in their church and everything else, who are committing adultery, who are fornicating, who are masturbating, and all the other atoms they've gotten out there. I'm just, what the heck version of Christianity are we preaching out there? This is from a Christian faith where Jesus said, if a man so much as looks at a woman, he commits adultery in his heart. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, you're kind of mean. Really? Do you think Jesus might have been a little mean? What do you mean? I don't know. If you have a problem looking at people, Jesus, here's his solution. Pluck your eyes out. Here's another guy. Pastor, I have a hard time keep my hand behaving itself. Well, Jesus said, gee, if you have a problem with your hand, I don't know, cut it off. I really think the Jesus people have created in their minds is not the Jesus of the Bible. I don't know what they're talking about. They live in some alternate universe.
I agree.
Do you read the... most of the people who listen to the show, they get it. Their heads are all nodding right now. I'm talking to the dysfunctional part of the... Because we seem to attract the dysfunctional part of the world. They listen to the show, they write the show, and they just... How can you not get... You pastors have got to teach these people. You get what you put in. You treat your spouse like garbage, you're going to get garbage out. You're mean and nasty and selfish, you're going to get mean and nasty and selfish out. You ignore and spend no attention to your marriage, you're going to get a very cold and empty marriage. You never touch each other, kind to each other, you're going to have a sexless marriage. You look at porn and masturbate, you're going to have poison in your marriage. You're dating a guy and having sex with him before you marry him? Oh, but we both love Jesus. Having sexual sin, you're going to move into a sexual disaster in your marriage. But they don't get it. They do not get it. There is no connection between reaping and sowing. And I promise you, when the Bible talks about reaping and sowing, overwhelming, it ain't talking about sending $50 to this evangelist. It's about the way you live your life. How about we just live our lives sanely? How about we not to be insane? How about you girls get quit... I have a boyfriend who's got anger issues. He gets mad and he hits me and stuff. But how can I minister to him? Minister to him? Get away from him.
They just want to fix them all. They always want to fix them.
But I believe they want to.
You know what?
Married.
You know why? They want to be a savior.
Yes.
Savior. Oh, yeah. They want to be saved. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock a lot of you people. You're going to be mad at me, and you already are. We're already down to about 4 listeners as it is now. We're up to 8 for a while.
Yep.
By the time I get on today's show, we're going to be 2. When I get back, I'm going to talk to you what's happening with these women. And I'm not just trying to pick on women. Some guys are the same way.
Oh,
these
there's people,
a lot of guys
too.
It's not just a female problem. We say women because overwhelmingly more women listen to the show, and women tend to want to be saviors and stuff like that. But when you do that, you don't realize how violating you are of the scriptures when you're doing this. We will talk about that when we get back right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
And we are here, this podcast of the Mark Gunger Show. We're doing another plug for our sponsor. We have a new sponsor. Of all the sponsors we have. Actually, this is the only one.
The only one.
No, actually, we have a new sponsor with Fave Television, Family yes. and Values Entertainment. We haven't got to it yet.
Yes.
We'll get there. But anyway, this podcast today is being brought to you by Audible.com. They're our first sponsor. Let's hear for them. They are the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles from all across all types of literature.
Literature.
You want to be educated. Now, so you want to be educated. You don't have time to read, right? Right? So get an audiobook. Pop it in. You can listen to it. And you become educated that way automatically. It has fiction, nonfiction, periodical. What category are we in? We're probably nonfiction.
Yeah. Yeah. For a podcast, but we're not a book.
We're not a book, actually, yeah.
We need to get your book on there, though.
We should, but I can't imagine me sitting down and reading my whole book out loud.
I know, but you need to, because in your voice, it'll be the best.
I can't imagine just reading my book. I don't know if I've ever actually read my whole book in one sitting. I never. It took forever to write it.
Do you ever read a book in its entirety in one setting?
On occasion, but not very often.
How many pages?
I'm not a big reader. Well, at least one page. That's the beautiful of audible.com.
You don't
have to read. You just listen. You don't have to. All you guys out there, you need to get this information. You don't need to read.
That's why you need to put it on audio. Your book.
And so audible.com. And check it out for the Mark Gunger Show listeners, because we have such power, such influence on the world. They are giving our listeners a free audiobook of your choice. A free book. You can go and pick any book you want and listen to the whole, and you get it for absolutely free. And a 30-day free trial membership. All you have to do is go on to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, G-U-N-G-O-R, okay? audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Some great books in Audible. There's 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
There's a gazillion. But some of them are a little crazy, but look for the good ones.
Yes.
Grace-Based Parenting by Tim Kimmel.
Yes, he's our friend.
We know Tim. He's a great guy. He actually reads it. Ken Davis, his book, Fully Alive, Lighten Up and Live. We love Ken Davis. Ken, he's crazy. He's a hilarious. That is.
I actually would get that book of
that
his.
That is
I would
one
like to
funny guy.
Oh, he's hilarious.
You should take the free thing and go on.
I should.
You know, actually, I should. I should go to my own website and get my own free book and listen to Ken Davis.
I want to.
Just go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. I think I'm going to do it so I can get Ken Davis's book for free and then laugh and tell him, I got your book and I didn't pay for it. All right, check it out.
Let me tell you, people, well, I ain't got nothing but the blues.
Sounds like a man who's been listening to the show. Got nothing but the blues. Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. You can check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Okay, so I my opening rant today. I rant from time to time. Those of you who've never seen the show might be in a state of shock already. But that's what I just... Stuff sets me off.
This whole show might be a rant.
I think I have issues. I have issues. I need inner healing.
Yes.
Don't know. What the heck? So, again, complete disconnect between reaping and sowing. People have disasters in their life and cannot for the life of them make the connections. It's because of what they're doing. You know, my husband's a terrible alcoholic. Really? Was he an alcoholic before you married him? Yeah. Well, what did you think you would have happen? Who was that one lady? Because this wasn't a big deal, but it's just, indicative of the problem. Lady writes us, she's mad as a hornet because her husband collects beer cans. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's a complete psycho with beer cans. He cannot stop. He has beer cans everywhere. She's telling this horrible story. And of course, you know, people get, and everybody feels so bad for her, and he's such an idiot.
He needs to stop doing that.
But I always ask the question.
Was he doing it before?
Was he doing it before you married him? What does she say?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what do you think? If you marry a beer can collector, he's probably going to keep collecting beer cans. Why this is difficult for people to understand?
Well, she said it wasn't that bad when she first met him, but I bet it was. I bet she just didn't see it because she was all caught up in the dating, and I'm sure that he probably was the same level.
I have a husband. He looks at porn and he masturbates. Really? Was he doing this before you married him? Well, yeah.
I thought he would stop when we got married.
Again, no connection. My husband's very violent. He's very angry. I don't know what I'm going to do. Was he like that before you married him? Well, yeah, he was. What's that got to do with anything? Seriously? And it's like these single people, you know what they're doing? They're having sex. They're having sex, and it makes them stupid. And as soon as you start having sex, it makes you stupid. You don't think anymore. You got all these single Christians out there having sex and being dumb as a brick. And then marrying these guys with plain, obvious signs of disaster over the guy or over the woman. And they married them, and then they're married, and they're shocked. They don't understand. Why is my life? Well, didn't you see that going in?
If they were having sex, no.
But these people, they've got this savior complex. That's what we ended the first. Okay, a savior complex. I can fix him. I can fix him. Overwhelmingly, we're not trying mean. I'm not misogynistic. I don't think badly of women. But, I mean, if there's, you know, everybody's got their genders have their thing. One of the things women have, even most women would admit, even the ones who don't like me would admit, women try to play savior. Mm-hmm. Well, listen to me, you girls. I want to tell you how unbiblical that is when you do that. You think the Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And some of these women, they're trying to be Jesus. I'll save him. I'll redeem him. You got no business doing that. Stop it. It's not your answer to be Jesus in his life. You're trying to be an idol in his life. These women like to be idolized.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's good. He should treat you in a idolized kind of way. Mm-hmm. But they're way beyond. They literally want to be an idol. Then we might stick Baal on their forehead. We ought to get a big old stamp. Baal! That's the Old Testament gods, you know. Just, hey Baal, how you doing? He's what out. I thought I could fix it. Really? How's it going for that? Baal? How's that work for you? Baal! Smack! Baal on the forehead! What does one want these guys to down? Oh, hullabugga. Oh, Baal. Suck it to my Baal. We worship you, Baal. Oh, you're a wonderful Baal. Oh, we know. You got no business trying to be a god in these guys' lives. Now, they would say that they're not being a god, but that's exactly what they're being.
Mm-hmm.
You try to be a savior, you're taking the place of the savior.
You know how you talk about all the time, all the books you want to write? That's one that I want to write. And the title of it, There's Only One Savior, and It Ain't You.
That's
a book that I want to write.
There you go. Start on it.
Mm-hmm.
I know some idiot dumb enough to publish it. That would be me. Goodness gracious. Stop trying to save these people. Now, in a sense, we're supposed to say, I get it. We should feed the hungry. You know, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be God's hands. And I get that part. But we're not talking about that.
That's apples and oranges.
We're not talking about you. We're talking you literally want to be a savior.
You want to be the hero.
You want to be the hero. You want to be the godlike creature in this person's life. And redeem them from their problems. Mm-hmm. Then you marry them, and then it doesn't work, and your life is hell. And then you're miserable, and you suck the life out of everybody around you trying to get help. We have got to stop it. It's the connection between reaping and sowing. The reason we have such a disaster in marriages in the church today is because people are doing stupid things. We have to stop the stupid. If you refuse to stop the stupid, and I'm talking to you single people. You married people, it's too late. You're in. We got to work on you. But you single people, stop it. Quit ignoring obvious disasters in people's lives. Quit having sex with these guys. Quit having sex with your girlfriends. Getting all dumb and you're not recognizing she's a needy old whining. You can't, because you just can't wait to get laid next. Stop it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have emails, I presume.
Yeah.
Will they irritate me?
Yeah.
Well, all right, good. We'll start with today's onset of irritation to Pastor Mark right after this break.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We're back. You're listening to Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, bemoaning the failure of people to connect what they get from life from what they do to life. I'm Mark Gunger. Joined with me always, Diane Brierley and Ross Allen Skorzewski, trying to answer your emails. You know, I've never met him, but I bet you another guy who just probably just wants to pull his hair out, but he doesn't have any hair anymore like me, is Dave Ramsey.
Oh, I bet.
I bet you he's the same kind of crazy.
In the financial.
In the financial sense.
Yes.
I bet he because does. People do not connect what they
get. No.
Pastor, we have no money.
Yeah.
What do you mean have no money? We got none. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because you spend too much money. What? What do you mean?
A novel idea?
What? Yeah, quit spending. Quit making all the wrong financial moves and decisions in your life. This is why you don't have more money. But again, it's like people in America today, their brains have been seared over. There's no connection between what they do and what they get. Forget relationships, man. Just money, something is dollar in, dollar out. You'd think they'd get that, and people don't get it. They really think their problem in life is they don't have enough money.
That's not true.
No, it's you spend too much money of what you got. Nah, unless you're making, you know, $10,000 a year, then that'll be a problem. We're talking people make 50, 60, 80, 100, 150, 200, 300. I've talked to people $400,000, $500,000 a year.
They
can't
enough.
Even go out to eat. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I got to make the mortgage. You're that overextended and they're miserable. And it doesn't stop. Because these people who don't have enough money, you give the people right now who cannot survive on $60,000 a year, double it. Double it to 120 grand. I guarantee you, in 12 months, they are in financial trouble.
Sure they will be.
They don't know how to do life. There's no connection between dollar in, dollar out. Add another 60,000. Now I've got 180 grand. I guarantee you, this couple who was making 60 grand and is now making 180 grand, and they were in financial crisis at 60, they are now in financial crisis at 180. I guarantee, there is no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who are smart and successful with 60 are really enjoying life at 120, really enjoying life at 180, are having a blast when they hit 250 because they get it. Again, there's this incredible disconnect. I just bet you, I'd have never met him, but there's people from his office that listen to the show.
Yeah. But I'm sure they can confirm that.
He must just shake his head and think,
what the
good
heck?
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. I know you're never about the whys of that, but if you're going to take a stab at it, why do you think we've ended up here? There has to be something that has caused this.
It's going to be oversimplistic and over-spiritual. I think it's the devil. I think it's just Satan. I think Satan has poisoned our nation. Yeah. We're getting further away from God, and the further we got from God, the closer we get to the devil. There is no in-between. And if there's one thing that has poisoned our culture over the last 30 years, it's nobody's responsible.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
And there's no consequences.
There's no consequences.
And somebody will step in and take care of it. And everybody has the same. And there's no competition. There's no you earn anything anymore.
No. And the reason that you don't have it is because, well, look at our political seasons, you know. We had, you know, haves and haves. Not the reason you don't have more because somebody else, you need to take it from them and give it to you. It is interesting, of the trillions of dollars we've transferred in wealth, we're not going to get into politics here, but people are still broke.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the war on poverty. We're going to end poverty in America. So we take all this money from gazillionaires, give it to poor people, and they're still poor.
They still have poverty.
You know, there's a theory out there. You could take all the money in the world and distribute it equally to everybody, so everybody has the exact same amount of money. And within 10 years, the people who were poor before will be poor again, the people who are multi-gazillionaires will be multi-gazillionaires again, and all the in-betweens.
Yep.
You can't
right
fix
back
it.
With
you
the
can't
same,
fix it.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to be responsible. It's not my fault. I killed that person because it's somebody else's fault. I wasn't breastfed as a baby. You know, I have a booby deficiency. If I'd had more boobies when I was a baby, drinking from my mama's boobies, I wouldn't have been an axe murderer. That's my problem. Everybody's got their thing. Nobody's responsible. It's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Why don't I have? It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. We grade on curves all the time. We don't reward success. We don't want to play games where, you know, people win and lose. We want to play little games where everybody's a winner.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
We are back from the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. I'm, of course, Mark Gunger, along with Diane Briley, Ross Allen, Skorzewski, the magnificent... giving our opinions about love, marriage, and relationship. And I guess I'm done ranting, so.
You've beaten that horse.
What email do you have for us today?
Okay, ready? I don't know if I am, but okay. She says, I have started to listen to your show for a few days now. Just have to
Ooh,
say,
I have to be very nice to her.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, but that's because you haven't heard it for
she
very long.
She may not be loving it. May not be loving it after this, honey.
Okay, so we need to be nice to her.
So she says, here's my story. Been married for 6 years. Been with my hubby for almost 10.
Okay, so you're living with him for 4 years before you got married.
Okay, when they first started out, they were both unbelievers. They started dating when they were 16.
Okay.
They let their hormones get the best of them. She ended up getting pregnant in college. Okay. They got married. Right. He joined the Army. He went to basic training, and upon his return, he had cheated on her.
Okay.
He told me about it. It was a one-time thing. She said, I was devastated. I had recently become a believer.
Can I stop real quick there? Mm-hmm. Because they're not believers yet.
But
he's not. I mean, it's new to her. That hasn't really hit them yet. So we're not condemning these people. A lot of people do this.
Mm-hmm.
But something I want women to understand, or men too. You teach them it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. When you're having sex with them outside of marriage. And then they get married. They're shocked because they had sex outside of marriage. Yeah.
That's
do you see the connecting
to
of the wires here? You are boinking these guys. You're with a guy, you're freely having sex with him. You're with a woman, you're freely having sex with her. There's no commitment, everything. Everything in your act is saying you're perfectly fine with that person having sex outside of marriage. That's what you're doing when you have sex out of marriage. Sex outside of marriage.
Yes.
You are saying you approve of sex outside of marriage.
It's okay for you, honey, to have sex outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage, okay? Then you get married, and now you girls are shocked. You guys are shocked. Oh, my gosh. My spouse had sex outside of marriage. How did this happen? How did this happen? Again, it's the complete disconnect.
You showed them it's fine with you.
That's what I mean. Complete disconnect between what you sow and what you get. I don't understand why my spouse cheats. Well, you basically were teaching him how to cheat before you married him. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, again, they weren't Christians yet, but I know Christians who do this.
Yeah.
And they don't know why he's unfaithful and why she's unfaithful. And then you ask them, and then they freely were doing this. That's why I tell people, because people say, well, you know, Pastor, you're so mean. You're something's got to do about your sex drive. You got to be able to masturbate and do all these things and feel up your girlfriend, have oral sex. What are you supposed to do? First of all, you should do nothing. You should get married. That's what you should do. And quit having sex outside of marriage. But here's what I'm saying. If you don't learn to say no to your sex drive before you get married, you won't be able to say no to it after you get married. But again, they think something magic happens when you get married. Right. Oh, 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 and then everything changes. No. What you've done is you've never said no to your sex drive before you got married. Now you get married, and you know what? Now you still can't say no. That's why these guys are still looking at porn. That's why they're still having sex with other women. That's why they're still cheating on their husbands. They've never learned to say no. You single people, the reason not to be doing all these things is you need to learn to say no. You will not die. No one has ever died from a lack of sex. You feel like you're going to die, but you will not die. And it's a high motivator to get married so you can have your sex life fulfilled. That's what the Bible talks about. But stop it. Dear God in heaven. I'm not even arguing on moral grounds. On moral grounds, you shouldn't do it. But apparently, we can't listen to the Bible. God forbid. God forbid we listen to God. That doesn't even make sense.
Heaven forbid.
Okay, so forget the morality. Forget that Jesus said you shouldn't do this stuff. Forget all that Bible stuff. Just from the logic of if you don't learn to say no to your sex drive before you say I do, you can't say no to it after you say I do. And you still keep having these problems. Okay, so just to explain... We got married, and then he cheated. What a shock. Couldn't see that coming.
Okay.
Huh? Couldn't see that coming. Couldn't connect those wires because We're crazy people in this country.
All right. So she got pregnant. They got married. Yep. He went off to the army. Yep. She was still pregnant. It was so they had just, I mean, not even married a year because she was still pregnant when he cheated on her.
Okay.
Comes back. She had become a believer in the meantime. He was not.
Okay.
She decided to stay with him for the sake of the to be born baby. And then soon after, during the first year after he cheated, he did come to Christ. So all of that brought about him coming to the Lord.
That's great. We love it.
But
celebrate
she says
it.
6 years later, we're still struggling. So they've been Christians about 6 years, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Mainly because, here comes the problem, we both still struggle with masturbation. And of course, she says she struggles with trust issues because of this affair.
Okay, so do you people hear me? Is that not exactly what I just said? This is why you single people, for the love of God, for the love of all holy, righteous, and true, stop the porn. Stop the masturbating. Stop the sex. Stop the orals. Stop all this stuff. If you don't learn to say no to your sex drive before you get married, you'll be like these people and you can't say no after. They're into these behaviors and they can't stop. Everybody thinks that magic's going to happen when they get married, then they're shocked when it doesn't. I don't know what people think marriage is. I mean, seriously, I think they think something magical happens.
I think you're right.
I think they're crazy. All right.
It's interesting. I'm just going to hop back because she worded this in a very interesting way that you may have something to say. She said, I had recently become a believer, but not following God.
Well, how did I'm just looking at it.
That really made me go, what the heck?
Oh, are you kidding? This is American Christianity today.
How do you become a believer, but you're not following God?
Because we evangelicals have been creating a disaster in the kingdom of God, spending millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars in crusades and radio and television programs, convincing people, if you just believe, if you just say, Lord Jesus, come in my heart, you will be saved. If you just say, Lord, Lord, you will be saved. If you just say, Lord, we have spent gazillions, we have trained people to think, because I said, Lord, Lord. Interesting, right in for Jesus' first teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, Jesus said the following. Do not think because you say, Lord, Lord, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, apparently Jesus has never been to one of our evangelism classes. Poor Jesus. We need to get Jesus to some of our evangelical evangelism classes so we can teach Jesus that all you got to do is say, Lord, Lord, and you'll be saved. Poor Jesus was ignorant. We create this nonsense.
Yeah.
So we have people, well, I'm a believer. I said the prayer. I live like hell.
But they're expecting different results. That's the problem.
Oh,
I'm a believer,
gosh.
So therefore, because I believe,
we've
the magic
this nonsense
happens.
All right, keep
anyhow.
Going. What do you got?
Okay, she says about this trust thing. She said, I know what you're going to say. If you forgave the boy, stop bringing it up.
Yes.
Better said than done. I think she means easier said than done.
She got all that from just a few days listening to the show.
I guess so.
Wow.
I know that you don't believe in soulmates, but I think this guy is the one I should be with. You married him.
Because you married him.
Yes,
you're supposed
right.
to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Done.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
which would mean that she's thinking in her mind that if she believed he wasn't her soulmate, she should not be with him.
Possibly.
Well, that's exactly what she's saying. I think I should stay with him because not because we made a promise to God, not
because
we
stayed
and we got married, not because we made a commitment. That's not why we should stay, because nobody believes in that anymore. We need to stop having vows at our weddings. For better, for worse, richer, and poorer, until death do us separate. Stop. Nobody believes that anymore.
I'll stay with you till I feel like it.
I stay with you. Hi, Bob. Do you take this? As long as I like him, I'll be here. As long as I think she's my soulmate,
better.
That'll be it. And anybody have a cheeseburger? Because let's go eat. You know, and forget all this romantic nonsense.
Because
clearly nobody believes their vows anymore.
Yeah.
The reason she believes she should stay married with this guy is not because of her vows.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she thinks he's
the soulmate. Soulmate. Even though you don't believe in him, Mark. Okay, anyway. But now she says we're both trying to follow Christ more. But for now, here's a problem. We are stuck in the mentality that our God is strong enough to save us, but not strong enough to help us with these issues. And I will wait quietly while you erupt. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Where's my bobblehead?
Don't hurt him. He's expensive.
That was an amazing statement.
Yeah.
Oh, but brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
This is our problem today.
Yes.
I just sent an email
can
to someone.
Save us.
I just sent an email to someone who was a speaker at one of our conferences.
Yep.
I was going off on him. Because he basically taught, well, you know, we can't help it. Paul said, that which I do not want to do, I do. Yeah, he's talking about before he became a Christian. He goes on to explain that Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the law of the flesh. Seriously, your message is, we're trying to have you encouraged and set men free, and your message is Romans 7, well, I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. Apparently, Jesus can save us, forgive us, heal us, raise our bodies from the dead, but he doesn't have enough power to keep us from masturbating and looking at porn. That the power of God can't do, and by her own admission.
Right.
I can't imagine saying those words, saying, yeah, I don't think he has the power.
God does not have the power to make...
I can't imagine saying that.
All right, take a break. Take a break. Check our medication. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Can I tell you a story from not too long ago?
This is the Mark Gunger Show. We are back from the break. Mark Gunger with Diane Brierley, Ross Allen Skorzewski, trying to change lives, or trying not to lose our minds. Yeah. What was that she ended on? How did she say that phrase about we believe
she
God can?
Saying, we're stuck in a mindset. We are stuck in the mentality that our God is strong enough to save us, but not strong enough to help us with these issues.
Yeah. That's a big disconnect people have. Mm-hmm. Jesus can save me, but he can't help me with my life. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not that... Here's what people don't understand. There's things you cannot do that only God can do. You cannot save yourself. Only Jesus. Now, people can get that. So they trust God for salvation. But they're expecting God to do everything else. No, you need to do some things. You need to act the right way. You need to behave in a certain way. You need to quit doing this. You need to quit. But there's no connection. Well, so the reason my marriage is miserable is because God won't help us. No, it's your fault. You're not doing the right things. Get my DVD. Send her my DVD. Be nice to the lady. Find out her address. Send her my book and my DVD. Follow the advice in the book. And this is easy. The marriage is not that complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. No. Just start doing the right. If you do the right things, you'll succeed. If you won't, you will fail. Straight up.
Okay.
There's no magic pill.
Well, interesting that you would say that, because they're having struggles with this masturbation thing.
Uh-huh.
She knows it's wrong, and she's having trouble
then
doing it.
Stop
he
it.
Knows it. He doesn't think that it's wrong, and yeah. He's going to deploy, and she's worried about him doing this. But so that's kind
just
of the
read
issue.
The book. Just read the book. Read the DVD. If you want to listen to what I say, great. If not, stay miserable. What do you want me to do? I can't live these people's lives for them.
Because she says, I wish there was an easy way to get over the hold this sin has over me.
Oh, I'm sure you do. We all want an easy way.
Yes. Yes,
but
yes,
see, stop
yes.
And think about it. I know people think I'm being sensitive and simplistic and stuff. You want to stop masturbating? Stop it. Just stop it. Nobody can hear it. When you believe in your mind that you cannot stop it, and listen to me, all of our cultures tell us, I have some of the most sincere, wonderful men of God I know, who come up to me and say, they hear me talk about this. You mean you tell your kids they don't have to masturbate? And I'm thinking, oh my God, you tell your kids you can? That they must? I've had Christian women come up to me, well, don't you have to tell your boys to masturbate? Dear God, they have bought into this nonsense. Well, won't they back up and explode? You will not. I'm telling you, there's been no more greater lies thrust on a generation of people that has helped corrupt them than this idea that people have to masturbate. You do not. They put it in the same categories, oxygen and food. If you don't have oxygen, you will die. If you don't have food, you will die. If you don't have water, you will die.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not masturbate, you will die. That is not true. It is not true. Nobody has to do this. I get that you want to do it. That I get. Yeah. Everybody wants to have a sexual release. Sign me up. I'm all for the release plan. And certainly God has a better release plan than you sitting there yanking on yourself for the love of God. People making love to themselves. Yeah. That's another stupid movie I saw recently, that Love, Hope...
Hope Springs.
Springs, you know, she, you know, a whole scene where she's feeling herself. She's feeling herself up.
They showed that.
Oh, yeah. Nothing grosser than watching a 63-year-old woman feel herself up. Good Lord, I wanted to vomit in a bag.
Oh,
Meryl
my goodness.
Streep, good Lord. People have, you know, so you gotta make love to yourself. Seriously? So this, the reason people cannot stop is they have bought into a lie that you cannot stop. You cannot stop because they are synonymous. They think it's synonymous with the feelings. If I feel I have to do it, then I have to do it. No, you don't. And what they're saying is, I don't want to do it. God, help me not to do it. But what they're thinking is, God will make me feel like I don't want to do it.
Right.
That won't change. You might feel like doing it till the day you die. You don't have to do it. You know, as long as you believe, you can. Nobody forces you to masturbate. There are not porn gnomes that drag you out of your bed at 2 a.m, kicking and screaming, "No, I don't want to masturbate, I don't want to masturbate," and force you in front of a computer while you're yanking on yourself. For the love of God, Christian people who have the power of Christ in them, the grace of God, which has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to unrighteousness and living self-controlled lives. Apparently, that grace of God has left. Ichabod. Elvis has left the building. The grace of God. Because the grace of God we teach today is not the grace of God. The grace of God we teach today is you can do anything, doesn't really matter. That's what the Bible says. The grace of God is he teaches us to live above sin and live free. Mm-hmm. But as long as you believe, you cannot not do it. Everybody has to do it. Sweetheart, as long as you and your husband believe, you have to do it. You'll be a slave to it. I'm telling you, you don't have to do it. Be free. Be free. You need to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. So, well, I feel like, I don't care what you feel like. We're not animals. If everybody does what they feel, we're all doomed. We're all doomed. We all feel inappropriate things at times. I feel all kinds of inappropriate things at times. What do? Stop it. You say no. You say no. The grace of God teaches us to say no. The idea that you have to masturbate. I can't get my head around it. You have to, Ross, you have to. You can't control it. You don't want to. Everything in you doesn't want to, but you have to. But if in your mind you truly believe that, you will be a slave to it. I'm telling you, they're lying to you. You are not a slave. Jesus Christ has set you free. You do not have to do it. Be free. Set yourself free. Next time you feel like doing it, probably every other hour, I don't care. You just say no. Nobody has to do this behavior. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
It's a little insane and a little profound.
That's the Mark Gunger Show. A little insane and a little profound. More insane than profound, sad to say. We've been on the CMEL for a long time.
Yeah. Still haven't gotten to all the information.
Quick. We're running
out
of time.
I still haven't told you.
Here's the kicker, and people listen to me. I know some of you think I'm cruel and mean and insensitive, and you're not rad about what you're saying. Listen to this.
They're both using porn. They're having sex every day or every other day. He's still masturbating once a week. She once a month, and they are both on the praise and worship team at church.
Are you hearing this, folks? Are you hearing this? People addicted to porn and masturbating, they're worship leaders in their church.
And they don't believe God has the power to set them free from it.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? This is the church we have today.
You can still sing and you can do all that stuff, but it doesn't make you spiritual.
I know, but look at the Bible warns. It says they will have a form of godliness, but deny the
void the power.
Power.
There you go.
That's what we have in Christianity today. Mm-hmm. We have a form of godliness, but we've denied the power.
I would love
Jesus can't set you free from masturbating. Jesus can't set you free from screwing your boyfriends. Jesus can't set you free from having oral sex with your girlfriend. You can't help it. You can't help it. Poor you. You can't help it. Heaven. There is no power for God to help you. Hep.
I would love to hear the types of words of encouragement this man gives or this woman gives during leading other Christians in worship.
What are you standing up there saying during worship time?
Worshiping God is an awesome God, but he can't save you.
He can't keep me from masturbating. And check it out. They have sex every other day. If not every day. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me, people? I'm telling you, these behaviors, it's not the result of lack of sex. It's the behavior in and of itself. They become slaves to the behavior. Sex every single day. Good Lord. Actually, that sounds kind of exciting. But sex every single day. And they still got to masturbate.
And look at porn.
That's why I say what I say. I know you guys think I'm mean, and instead I'm telling you, you people become slaves to this. Your children will become slaves to this. You need to break out of this stuff. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Do not do these behaviors. Oh, my gosh.
That's the
sex
kicker.
Every day. Every day. And they still have to masturbate. Looking poor. They can't control themselves. And these are people, they are worship leaders in a church. Praise God. Hallelujah. How Jesus can say it, but I deny the power of God. God cannot actually help me live above sin. This is the message of Christianity, and it is a travesty. It is a travesty.
It
is a disaster. And they quote from Romans, the 7th chapter, where Paul says, well, the things I want to do, I do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. And the things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. And yeah. And they say, you people, listen to me. He's talking about before he experiences Christ. Mm-hmm. Keep reading the next chapter. He didn't write in chapters. He's just writing. He said, I thank God. Who's going to set me free from this? Jesus Christ. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Learn to surrender to Christ. You won't have a problem with these areas. He's the guy who writes, I can do all things through Christ. Do you really think the Apostle Paul sat around and yanking on his wiener? Do you really think that, people? Do you really think this is the problem?
Because he
couldn't
help it.
These people could not. I'm telling you. Ah, it's just. And you know what? There's people right now who are calling their stations and complaining because I said the word wiener.
Yep, you're not very
Christian. They're more upset because I said the word wiener than I'm trying to encourage Christians not to fantasize, commit adultery, look at porn. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob says you can't masturbate. It doesn't have to. Jesus says, don't even think about it. If you so much as think about, if you look at a number and think about it, you've committed adultery in your heart. Well, if that is committing adultery, what in God's name is masturbating? Somebody explain this to me.
I have no explanation for you.
There's parts of the Bible. We just need to rip them out. I tell you what, the Bible gets a lot thinner. Maybe that's a problem. Our Bible's too thick, so we just need to rip out a whole bunch of pages and make it simpler. Take out all the stuff where Jesus said you can't do and just get rid of it. We're not reading it anyway. We're not believing it anyway. We love Jesus, but we're slaves to sexual sin. This is our message today. We can't help it. We have to cheat on our wives. We have to cheat on our husbands. We have to fantasize. We have to look at porn and masturbate. Our children need to do this. We need to encourage our children. Of course, we need to start having our children date when they're 12. And shocked when they're not virgins anymore. Oh, we can't help it. Can't help it. Help it.
Can't help it.
Can'tHelp.com. Hep spell H-E-P. Hep.
Can't help it.
We have a form of God in us, but we deny the power.
Indeed.
That's what the Bible warns about. There will be a day. The scriptures warn. There's a be a day. Well, they will have a form of God in us and deny the power. If we are not living in this day, I am a monkey's uncle. Actually, I may be a monkey's uncle. Hard to tell from my family's tree. Good Lord. You know what? I reject that. I just reject it. You guys want to live that way? You live that way. I'm telling you, there are millions of people in this country. We are living free. We have Jesus Christ living in us. We are not slaves to sin. We are living victorious. When Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. We are free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I don't need to be looking at porn. I don't have to be cheating on my wife. I don't need my wife running out and messing around with other men. We have been set free. And we do it not because we're so holy or righteous or because we are law-abiding citizens. We're doing it because we have the Spirit of God who says inside us, and He sets us free. Be free. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.